Al Perhax here, and welcome to Dynamic Mental and Training. This is week one, module one in the training. And I'll tell you, this is the pivotal point. I mean, obviously it's the first week, and setting your habits and getting disciplined is really a key in this exercise. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, please spend the time going through this exercise and the material in order to get the most out of it. You're being provided this in video format as well as audio, so I mean, there's no excuse that you don't have time to look at it. And, you know, with this program, the time for excuses is over. This is the time for action. Like I said when I was promoting this, is that this is for action takers, not excuse makers. And my whole goal is at the end of the 8 weeks that you have a methodology, you have a system in place that will fine-tune really every aspect of your life. Because the formula is designed so that it'll work in every area, whether it be financial, business, your weight, your fitness, your relationships, whatever the case might be. And that's the most exciting part about this. So in this module, we're going to talk about measuring your life. And I know that to some of you listening, you may be thinking that that's a little boring. I don't want to do that. But think of it this way. Let's say you were redoing one of your rooms in your house. I mean, you went to Home Depot or you went to some place to get it fixed, the local hardware store, and you told the guy, hey, listen, I'm redoing this room and I need some materials to get it done. And this guy's going to say, well, what are the measurements of the room? If you say, well, I don't know what the measurements of the room are, I don't know, it's about this big. He's going to be like, you know what? Go back to your house, measure the room, tell me what you need, tell me what you're looking for, and then we can kind of put together a plan. The same thing's true of your life, and the problem is most people do not plan out their life. I heard it said one time that more people plan out their yearly vacation than they do their entire life. It's probably true. If you've ever planned out a vacation, you get excited about it, right? Because you're going somewhere, maybe somewhere you haven't been before, maybe someplace you love to go, excitement, going out to dinner, having a good time, partying, all this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, you're excited. I want you to get excited about this process because this is your dreams and goals. And if you do it correctly, this year is really going to change for you in a really dynamic way because I'm giving you every tool that you need. And that's exciting. So when you measure your life, it's the only sure way to know where you are at and where you can go. If you don't know where you're at, there's no way you're going to ever determine where you want to go. And yet I speak to people and I counsel people and mentor them on a monthly basis. And oftentimes I'll say, well, tell me a little bit about yourself and then tell me a little bit about what you're looking to do. And it's kind of like, well, I just want to be better and I want to make a lot of money and I want to, you know, and it's very general, very generic, generalities. And see, generalities are not going to get you where you want to go. Because I'm going to tell you right now, generalities didn't get you to where you're at right now. Whether you want to believe it or not. Subliminally, everything that goes into your mind that's been specific has been acted upon. Either positive, negative, whatever the case might be. Obviously, if you're doing this program, you may have access to the subliminal solution system, which by far is a great piece of this puzzle. And we'll cover more of that when we get into it. And, of course, my Hypnotic Influence Boot Camp, which is a great program for hypnotic influence, but it's also great for self-hypnosis, which is, you know, primarily a lot of what we're going to be talking about. Well, we're not going to be talking about self-hypnosis as much here because you've got those other programs. And I'm assuming if you don't, you probably already went through them at another point. And so we got to measure. It's time-consuming, but once you get a baseline, you know how to build on it. A business that goes into a yearly planning session, what do you think they do? They actually plan, they look at the last year, the last quarter, and they say, okay, we did X in last quarter, we want to go X plus in the next quarter, and a quarter after that, we want to do X plus plus, but they have a baseline. They know where they're working from. And many people that are not in business maybe work at a job, and I don't know where each and every one of you work or what you do for a living, but you've got to have a baseline. This is so critical. Regardless of what you're going to do with this information, you've got to have a baseline on how to build upon it. And in the beginning, it is a little bit time consuming, but it's well worth it. Using measurement tools ensure you get the most out of this exercise, and I will be sharing some measurement tools with you. Now, in this video and training, I won't be going into the specific tools themselves. I will mention them, but then in a later video and instruction, I will actually go into the measurement tools and show you how you can use them. But measurement tools are really designed to just that, to be able to help you in that measurement process. What do you measure? You measure your work time. So we're going to do an exercise in a little bit, and we're going to put up some measurement factors. Now, I'm going to give you a whole list here, but in fact, I don't want you to use a whole list because it is time consuming. I want you to pick the top three or four and find out what's going on. And so you measure your work time. Now, unless you work on an assembly line or in a type of business where you have to be productive the entire time, you probably have a lot of flex time. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I want you to look at your work time. Now, that being said, if you're the type of person that does work on an assembly line or in a type of position, whether it's a business or a job, where you're working constantly, then this might not be something you want to measure because it's already measured out for you. You go in for 8 hours, and that 8 hours is a constant work. You're just doing whatever you're doing, and that's it. You can't deviate. There's nothing really to add to it, whatever the case might be. So keep that in mind. Food's a big one. Measuring your food. Now, how do we measure our food? I'm going to show you in detail a website that I personally use to measure my food, my exercise, my calories, everything that I'm putting into my mouth. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, if you want to lose weight, if you want to get in better shape, or if you just want to understand what you're doing, is you want to track what you're eating. And I can tell you that this was one of the biggest eye-openers that I've ever done. I never did it before until about just several months ago, in fact. And I have my iPhone, and I found an application that tracks it. And again, it's a little time-consuming, but again, you build up a habit, and you appreciate because you're getting data. And I monitored my food for a week just to see where I was at. And at the time, I was wondering, why am I not losing weight? It seems like I'm doing all the right things. But then when I looked at it and realized what I was actually eating, I was actually over a lot of calories, but I was over in the fact that it wasn't going to be a situation where I could get in the type of shape that I wanted to, because there's a lot of factors, and I'm going to cover that in the next module about weight loss, fitness, and those types of things. It's going to be a very thorough module going into each of those factors. But again, I encourage you to monitor your food intake, and I'll show you how to do that. Exercise. Until I started monitoring my exercise, you go a week without exercise, or you go to the gym one time, or you do your meditation one time a week, or whatever, and you look at it and you go, wow, I didn't do any of that. I only did 30 minutes this week, and you realize it. See, the reason you measure, and the reason it's so important, is again, everything that I do, everything that you do, you have to look at it from a perspective of how it subliminally influences your mind. From here on out, I want you to look at everything, every stimulus, everything that you hear, everything you read, everything you experience pops into your mind. And it stays there. It is not being removed. It can be diminished if it's a negative. It could be the light can be shown upon it if it's a positive. It can be expanded if it's positive, but it's there. You can't remove it. And I don't care what kind of hypnotist you think you are or what somebody thinks they are, it's there. Unless you have some type of debilitating accident and you get amnesia or something, but the thoughts are still there. They're still there. They're still in the hard drive of your head. And by programming yourself, by seeing what you're actually doing, it goes into your subconscious, and you all of a sudden you recognize it, and you'll recognize problems faster, you'll recognize your strengths faster, and you'll be able to accelerate those situations so much quicker than ever before. And that's a ticket. It's always better to accentuate your strengths than try to bring your weaknesses up, and I'm going to cover that as well. Money spent, big one. I mean, people, all probably, 80%, 90% of people out there do not know where their money goes on a monthly basis. They know basically that they have their bills, their mortgage, and their insurances and bills and all this kind of stuff. But that pocket change, a lot of times, they don't know where that went. And so you track your money spent and see exactly. And I mean down to the dollar, down to the penny. And guess what? It's a pain. But when you see where it's being spent, and only when you see where it's being spent, and you see it in a way that allows you to be able to see it in dollars and cents, is when you can really see if what you're doing is smart or not so smart. Because obviously we're going to talk about earning more income, but by measuring your money, you get to possibly save more money, because now you can divert money from one section to another. Relationships. You know, this is one that most people don't even think about, but how much time have you actually spent with your kids on a one-on-one basis, or your wife, or your spouse, your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case might be? How many times have you called your grandmother, or your mother, or your father? You know, and when I see that, and I look at it over, I think, oh man, I'm deficient. I have not spent enough time with, you know, and I put the name on it. But it's the only way that I acknowledge it. Otherwise, we just blow through life thinking about what we're doing next, not aware of what's going on around us or what really is important. Spiritual. How much spiritual time did you spend? If you're a spiritual person. If not, maybe this doesn't apply. Or maybe it's something you think about and say, hey, I'd like to be more spiritual. Am I just going to church on Sunday? Or am I spirit-filled throughout the week? Whatever that means to you. Leisure. Have you measured your leisure time? You know, I mean, really, I'm like, it's kind of a type A personality, and so I would consider myself kind of a workaholic. You know, I will work till late hours of the night. I work Saturdays. I'll work Sundays. And if I don't look at that and see what my leisure time is, I can get really out of whack or out of control in that one area of work, because I have so much stuff that I want to get done. And so you have to look at your leisure time and say, okay, how much leisure time did I actually have this last week? Leisure time. You know, and to me, leisure time is spending time with my kids, maybe watching a movie, playing a video game. By the way, I just completed the Uncharted, which is on PS3, and it's a fantastic game. Just finished it with my son's help, and I'm now on to Charted 2. But again, that's a leisure activity that I enjoy, something I do. I go out with my wife probably once or twice a week. We probably go out more than that. But we will go to a club or a party or a dance or something like that, and we'll go out and have a good time. But if you're not getting leisure time, if you're married and you're not getting leisure time with your spouse, that's a sign that you need to do that. And again, when you measure it, you say, oh my, I need to spend more time with my spouse, or I need to spend more time with my kids. Quality time. You know, quality time doesn't mean you spend 5 hours a day. It could be one quality hour a week, or a good 15 to 20 minutes a day that you sit down and you converse with them, find out what they're doing, and so on and so forth. Mental. How's your mental training? You know, what do you measure mentally? Have you fed yourself mentally this week, or is it all leisure and garbage candy? And garbage food that you're putting in your mind. Again, think about that. Travel. This is a big one for a lot of people. Now, some people travel a lot. I used to travel when I was in corporate America. I used to travel every week, and so I got to see probably most of the country and got to travel to some really cool places. I was always on a plane. I was driving. I was all this, you know, doing all this stuff, and I enjoyed it. And so I never measured my travel because I was traveling every week, and oftentimes I could take my wife with me, which worked out really nice. But now since I actually work from home, I actually have a home office, I don't travel nearly as much. And if I don't measure that and say, okay, how many trips did I take this week or this year, and then how many trips do I want to take this year, put a budget on it, measure it out, and say, okay, what do we want to do? How much is that going to cost, and how are we going to make it happen? Really important stuff. Idle time. Do you measure idle time? Idle time is just time that just gets frittered away. It could be you playing games online, surfing the internet when you should be working, just doing stuff, watching TV when you know you should be doing something else. Now, again, you know, don't Now, what I mean by that's idle time versus, let's say, a leisure time. If I have a leisure time and I say, I'm going to watch a movie, like my son and I watched a movie last night, we sat down and knocked 2 hours out. That was leisure time. Idle time would be if I'm walking between my home office and living room and there's a TV show on and I get engrossed in it and I sit down and watch it, or I stand there for 15 minutes and I lose 15 minutes of my day because I'm watching this show. Or I'm surfing online looking at ESPN or some other site, and it's a waste of time. Okay?
Very, very, very dangerous stuff. So, you got to ask yourself some questions. How much time do you spend in each area? And kind of pie chart it out. And I know that many of you are looking at this going, man, this is work, but do you want to make the change or not? It's work for me too. I don't like doing it any more than you do. I'm teaching it. So don't think that I'm just explaining for you to do this. I'm telling you, when I really started getting a handle on these things is when things started to take off for me in my life in many of these different areas. And I really want you to understand it works, but it does take a little discipline to get it to work. Why? Why do you spend time? Again, we are pleasure-seeking animals, if you want to call us animals. Mammals, whatever you want to call us. And so we always seek pleasure. You know, it's said that we either go towards pleasure or we back away from pain. And most of us go towards pleasure. And pleasure could be, like I said, that idle time, internet, surfing, going playing games, whatever the case might be. But find out why you spend time. Oftentimes it becomes because you like it. It's pleasurable for you. It is easy. How can you measure it better? So yeah, if you have that idle time, how can you spin it so that you can say, all right, I'm going to do this particular thing for 20 minutes today, and I'm going to look at that as leisure and instead of idle time because you schedule it. And now I'm saying you need to schedule everything either. Trust me, I don't schedule everything. What results would you receive as a result? So for instance, if you adjusted your food, you measured your food and you adjusted that, what kind of results would you get? Feel better, look better, so on and so forth. Real important stuff. And I'm going to go into some of the actual measurements that I want you to do. But the biggest killer, and I mentioned it before, is idle time. This is the thing that you really need to get a handle on. And I've met very, very few people that don't have idle time. Because, you know, obviously we're a lot more reliant upon technology and so forth, and so we all have a lot of idle time on our hands. If you don't, obviously don't worry about this, but this seems to be the reason why people don't get things done. Idle time and procrastination, and they kind of work together to cause you to not get things done. And so it's a matter of understanding, and again, anytime you identify something, you measure it, and you realize what you're really doing there. Like, for instance, if you found, like, I found times where I'm surfing online, even if I'm actually surfing to research things or whatever, I could get off on a tangent, and next thing you know, I'm 30 minutes into reading some article about something, or a funny joke that a friend of mine sent me, or whatever the case might be. All of a sudden, you're off on a tangent. You go on a Facebook or some other type of time killer, and it's good stuff. But is it really assisting you at that point? Again, can always slot things into the leisure perspective. Now let's talk about some measurement tools that we're going to go into that I think are going to really help you out. Obviously Excel spreadsheets. If you don't have access to Excel, there's many different kinds that you can get, or spreadsheets. And really what spreadsheets allow you to be able to do, and I'm not an expert on them, so don't even think that I can be coming across as an expert, but just learn the basics of how to set it up. And again, the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to set it up. I'm going to have a couple for you that I'll have pre-made for you. But learn to mess around with it so that you can put your own spreadsheets together as measurement tools. Website, rescuetime.com. I'm going to go into this, explain why you would want to use it, so on and so forth. But this will show you where your time is being spent online specifically. It's really great. In fact, sometimes when I work with employees that I have outsourcing or outtasking, I'll put them on Rescue Time to see what they're doing with their time, and I'll know if they're working for me or playing for themselves. Another great one is loseit.com. I'm going to go into great detail on this. This is one I personally use. And it is for the weight management and fitness and so on and so forth. But hey, you know, I think everyone should measure that. And then another one is bubble.us. Actually, you know what? I spelled it wrong here. It's actually bubbl.us. I'll have to change that. But when we go into the training, I'll show you what that looks like. And then I've provided a life goal spreadsheet for you that you can use to start tracking what we're doing here, which is pretty cool. Now, let's talk about the measurement test that you're going to do and how it's going to work. I want you to run it for a full 7-day week. So whatever day you're listening to this, I want you to pull it out 7 days. Now, if you can't do a full 7 days, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Do it for 3 days. If you don't do it for the full 7 days, though, you're just not going to get an accurate measurement. I did this with my food intake for 7 days, and what I found was there was probably about 3 or 4 days that I was pretty spot on. Probably like 3 days I was good with my diet, and then all of a sudden there was like this 4 days where it went out of control. I didn't even realize it. You know, this, have this here, have that there, a couple beers here. Next thing you know, bam, you know, I'm over for the week. And the same thing's true with money. You know, you monitor for a couple days. 7 days is a good measurement. In fact, I'm doing it all the time now for several areas of my life, just so I can track it. And it only takes a few minutes a day, so it's not like it's taking hours upon hours a day. If it did, I wouldn't do it and wouldn't recommend that you do it either. And the thing is, once you start to track and measure what you're doing, you don't necessarily need to do the tracking as intensely, because you get into a routine. You know what's right for your body. You know what's right for your mind. You know, you can kind of see what you're doing. Now, you're going to want to go back and track every now and then just to make sure you're staying on track. Now, if you don't want to do it all the time, it's totally up to you. What I want you to do is I want you to pick the top 3 things to measure. I don't want you to measure, you know, all that whole list or add things. And now, granted, that list I put together, if you want to add things to that list or you want to have sub factors of that list, like for instance, fitness, I'm a martial artist. I'm also a Qi Power practitioner. I do meditation, and I do my Qigong, my Qi Power training, and I also go to a gym. So under exercise, I've really got 3 or 4 different types of exercise. I'm not going to list all those there, but in your testing, you may want to measure all of those things to see how much time you're putting in each of those areas on a weekly basis, and then, you know, seeing what you're doing on a monthly basis. I mean, it's really valuable once you get the data. I know it sounds a little bit like you're really maybe going overboard, but it's really not overboard at all, especially if you want dynamic results. So pick only the top 3 things to measure. And on the others, try to estimate the time spent. Like I said, if spending time with your relatives wasn't top on your list, try to estimate. Think back the last week and say, okay, I spent 5 hours with little Bobby, you know, or whatever the case might be. I don't have a little Bobby, but you might have a little Bobby. I don't know about that. And then once you have actual data, you can actually evaluate it. And that's the key to this whole process, is having data. Just like if you were running a business, and you should run your life like a business in some ways. Now, you're going to probably think I contradict myself in some ways, because I am going to say run your business, your life like a business, but I'm also going to show you some really neat tips and tricks where you're going to have more possible leisure time than you've ever had in your life. And that should be a goal that you have, is that you have time for fun stuff, not just time for the mundane work and all those different types of situations. So, you'll be surprised with the results. I certainly was. I mean, I was shocked when I, like I said, looking at my eating habits, looking at my spending habits. I mean, my spending habits, you know, I told my wife, do you believe how much money we're spending, you know, doing this particular thing? She's like, wow, I had no idea. And I was looking at my groceries even, and I was like, man, I didn't realize we spent that much. Because you go to the store every day, you don't even realize it. And all of a sudden, if you have it added up, you're like, wow, it's a lot. All right, let's get into the measurement test. You want to run it for a full 7-day week. Oh, wait. We got an extra slide here. All right, so let's go back. So let's go to the 4-step formula now. How about that one? I didn't realize that one was stuck in there twice. But that's okay. So let's talk about a 4-step formula to reach your desires. This formula has never failed to work any time that I've applied it. And that's the whole key, is you got to apply it. And that is dream, goals, plans, and then action. So dream, goal, plan, and action. Very simple. You're going to take this formula and put it into those areas that you want to achieve in. And I'm going to go into each one of these areas, but this formula works. And I'm going to tell you the difference between a dream and a goal and a plan and how you can take that action to wrap it all together. Now, if you've got my goal setting course, I go into a lot of detail on this. I did that course actually years ago, so I'll probably add some nuances now that I didn't have back then. But if you have that program, it's really good. It's a good program. Let's talk about a dream. You want to learn the art of dream building. A dream is that desire that you have. It's not a goal. It's a dream. It's something that gets you excited. You know, one of the first questions I might ask you is, what gets you excited? What gets you excited? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say that? It could be something physical. It could be something mental. It could be something, it could be like a vacation. It could be going out to your favorite restaurant. Whatever that is, what gets you excited? And the art of dream building is the art of going out and stretching your mind to put into your mind that which you want and that which you desire. I have in the past built what I call a dream board, and that's where I will put together a board. I'll go to Staples or one of these office supply stores, and I'll get one of these big cardboard things. Boards, and I'll just start cutting pictures out of magazines. I'll get the Rob Report and real estate magazines and start building a dream board. It's really a great way to do it. And I know it takes some time, but once you have it done, man, you got it. Dreaming, you can visit a house that's a stretch. What does that mean? That means if you're living in a house right now that's worth, $500,000, go visit a house that's $1 million. See what the difference is. What's the difference in the craftsmanship, the size, the amount of rooms, you know, all the different things that you have? And does that get you excited? For some of you, it doesn't. For some of you, it's an extra house. Maybe one at the beach or in the mountains or in the woods, in the forest, in the mountains, whatever the case might be. You want to start thinking in terms of dreaming. As you go out on your day, you want to start thinking of dreams that you can accomplish. Now, some of you might be thinking, man, I just want to make some extra money. I feel like I'm being squeezed. The economy's getting me or whatever. And I know you're thinking that way, but you need to stop thinking that way, because there's no way you're going to get what you want thinking that way. Maybe drive a car you've always dreamed of. Mercedes, BMW, whatever the case might be, go drive it. You know, surf it online. Check it out. See what's going on. You know, surf that internet for vacations, houses, lifestyle, clothes, jewelry, toys that you want. Now, why would you do this? Some of you may be saying, hey, I already have a dream. Well, what is it? Is it a big dream or is it a little dream that can easily be accomplished? And I don't really care whether you have big ones or little ones. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you take that dream and you start to focus on it. Again, keep in mind, everything we focus on goes into our subconscious. So when you say, I want that type of house, and maybe it is, you know, I said $500,000 house to $1 million house, that's probably a big gap. But maybe you're in a $250,000 home and you want to move into a $350,000 home. Just a little bit more of an upgrade. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that smell like? Okay, kind of getting the picture, I hope. You need to stretch your mind, and doing this art of dream building is a way to stretch your mind. It allows you to see the possibilities. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to see possibilities that are crazy, like a $20 million home. And if you're not even making, you know, $100,000 a year and you're like, wow, I want a $20 million home, that's a dream. That's more of a pipe dream for most people. But it does get your mind thinking. And then you kind of work backwards from there. For instance, years ago, I mean, one of my goals was a Rolex watch. You know, a real Rolex watch. Gold, Rolex watch. Now, I have a gold, it's gold and silver, or no, gold and stainless steel, but that was a goal of mine. And I'll tell you maybe a little bit later in this training how I got that. But it was a goal of mine for a long time. They don't always have to be material. Okay, so don't think that I'm talking about dreams in terms of always being material. It could be time. Your dream could be time. I mean, I know some dudes at work 60 to 80 hours a week, and their dream is just to have time off. I remember when I was doing that, I would fantasize about spending a day off in front of the TV. Seriously, because I never had a day off. That's what I dreamt about. I mean, that was my dream, is doing that. Not necessarily, I didn't care what kind of car I was driving. I just wanted some time off. So don't always look at these dreams as being something that's material. And I don't want you to think that I'm being materialistic in this. But I want your mind to stretch and start to think about what you can do. The dream is the destination. It's where you want to go, regardless of what that means, regardless of what that looks like. And again, like I said, it's yours. It's not mine. So you have to decide what that's going to be. Now, let's talk about goals, because goals are, without a doubt, different than dreams. Let me just take a drink here so I don't, my throat doesn't dry out. But goals are different than dreams. And I, some of you probably think, ah, goal setting, this is so boring. But you need a goal to reach the dream. Example, you want a $50,000 car? That's your dream? The goal is to either finance it or pay cash. So now that goal is either $50,000 cash or, you know, $1,000 a month, whatever that payment comes out to be. And you can find all different types of calculators online, payment calculators. You want to buy that dream? Figure out how much it's going to cost you to pay for it, whether it's cash or whether it's finance. And you can do the same thing with a house. And I'm going to do a little session in a little while in another video that's going to go into your ideal lifestyle, just to come to kind of scale it out for you. And the goal is the tangible in order to get the dream. So they're two totally different things. The goal, usually, as it relates to this one here, is an income. An income that you would need, or a monetary figure you would need in order to get it. Now, using the example of having time to take a trip, the time off is the goal. Like I mentioned, the person with, you know, 60 to 80 hours a week, they don't have the time. That's what they're looking for. I mean, I know many people that earn really good incomes, and yet they don't have the time freedom. They certainly don't have the time freedom I have. There may be some people that earn more money than I do, but I got to tell you, I have a great lifestyle. My lifestyle is totally what I want to do when I want to do it. And if I want to take 3 days off, I can. If I want to work 4 days straight till 12 midnight, I can do that as well. That's a lifestyle issue. Now, the plan, obviously, is how you're going to get to the goal to get to the dream. Solid game plan provides the map to the destination. You see, you may have the goal, but without a plan to get the goal, it's not going to work so well. It also provides a fail-safe so that you can regroup and start over if you need to. Because let's face it, there's going to be some goals that you set that you're not going to get. You just have to reset them. And there's going to be some plans that you use to get to a goal, and they're going to fall apart. And that's okay, because once you have the basic outline of the plan, you can always go back and adjust it. You can go back and say, all right, let's do it this way. And then a plan can be adjusted and updated, no doubt about that. And every dream and goal must have a plan. You've got, just like I was talking about in the beginning, where if you don't have a plan to you know, understand what you want to do to add an addition or to fix a room up, it's not really going to work that well, you see. And by having a plan in place, you know what you're doing. Plus, a plan keeps you honest. When I used to hire people, back when I was in a corporate job, the biggest thing I would do, and I was in sales and marketing, is I would, before I hired somebody, I would say, listen, I want to meet you for an interview, and I want you to bring to me your game plan. I want you to bring to me your business plan. If you start to work for me, you don't know what I want you to do. I mean, basically know the idea of the job. But based on your experience, I want you to act as a consultant and come to me with a business plan. It doesn't have to be big, you know, one-page plan. It's going to have step-by-step what you're going to do. And everybody that came into the interview, I based that interview probably 80% on that plan. If they came in to me with a plan that was like one guy came in with like five sentences, he was done. He didn't make it. Now, some guys came in with a two-page plan and they could articulate that plan. That was very impressive. Now, let me tell you why I did that. Number one reason I did that is obviously to see how they think, to see how they plan things out. Number two, if I interviewed 20 people and I got 20 different business plans, you know how much that saved me in terms of determining different directions I could go with my actual business? I actually had these individuals who were coming to me to be hired for a position that was going to earn them upwards of $100,000 a year. These are experienced professionals. And they were consulting me without me having to charge them on what they would do. I'd then take those plans and, quite frankly, used some of those plans to hit my next goal with that company. It's pretty interesting stuff. So if you're in management, you certainly do that. And it works extremely well. Now, example, to get the $50,000 car, you must have the money and a plan to get the money. So let's say you need to get $50,000, then what you need to do is you have to have the stepping stones in that plan of how you're going to get to $50,000. It might be through your job, it might be a side job or side business. Figure out exactly how to do it. I know many people who want to go on a vacation and the wife picks up a second job, the husband picks up a second job, and they save up and they go on this vacation. And that's great, it's admirable, I think it's fantastic. But now I want you to start thinking in terms of your life. Because as we go through some of the modules, I'm going to actually show you different ways you could earn money if you really wanted to. And I think that there's an incredible value there. And it's going to allow you to start thinking in the right direction. Action. Action is the ultimate generator. Without it, you don't have anything. And so if you don't take action on any of the things that I'm talking about, you might as well just quit. You know, just don't even do anything. And just do, you know, whatever you've been doing. Because you got to take action. This is the implementation part of the plan. You've got this plan. Now, obviously, if you have a plan, it's always good to have somebody look it over. And I'm going to look over your plan. So you give me your plan back. I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to let you know, hey, this is good. You need to adjust this here. You need to adjust this there. It's a phenomenal resource to have somebody look at your plan and say that looks feasible or it doesn't. I always use the example that I had an individual many, many years ago who I consulted. He had bought some of my courses and he says to me over the phone, and if you've got my other course, you may have heard this, he says, man, I want to be a billionaire. I said, okay, that's great. I said, that's a great goal. I said, so I assume you're already a millionaire or a multimillionaire? He says, no, not yet. I said, okay. I said, you know, if you don't mind me asking, how much money do you earn right now? He says, about $30,000. I said, okay. I said, what's your game plan to get to be a billionaire? I said, do you have any idea how to do that? And he was starting this business. I think it was like a multi-level marketing or network marketing business, which is nothing wrong with that. But he had an unrealistic expectation of what he was going to be able to get. First of all, billionaire, there's not many of them out there. And if you divide $1 billion by years and, you know, any number you want, it's still a huge number. It's a huge nut to crack. Unless you have some kind of momentum, it's not going to happen for most people. Now, I'm not one to sit here and say you can't do that. But again, you got to be realistic. You know, from my perspective, that's a bad goal. The better goal would be, hey, I'd like to earn $1 million. Now, $1 million is still a lot of money, but I got news for you. It's a lot different than if you are looking to, you know, do $1 billion. Okay, totally different thing. This is where people fail the most, is in the action step, is that they have, you know, these great dreams, they have these great goals, they have a great plan, I'm going to go out and do this and that, and then this is where they fail. They stop the action. The action is stopped. and they don't take the appropriate step. Now, one of the things that this program, this system is going to allow you to be able to do is, because of the formula that I'm going to give you, the actual dynamic mental entrainment formula, and that's not even what we're talking about here yet, is this formula, the dynamic mental entrainment formula, is a formula that has been proven to keep people on track, to keep them in action on a more consistent basis. And that's the whole goal of this dynamic mental entrainment, is to get you to the point where your action is taking over and you're able to move forward a lot better. You know, sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, but you're still moving forward. And you see, that's exactly what... Now, you may be the biggest procrastinator. What I hope to do in the end of this 8 weeks is to get you out of that terrible, terrible thing, which is procrastination. And we all procrastinate to some extent. You create momentum when you are in movement. If you're moving forward, like I said, even if you take two steps forward and one step back, you're still in movement. Whereas if you are not moving, you're not doing anything to reach what you're looking to do, it's not going to happen. Since I've been in business for myself, I've learned that you got to get the job done. And so you start where you're at. You don't worry about when everything's perfect. Oh, I'm going to do this next week when whatever. No, you start right now. Even if you start right now 15 minutes, 5 minutes, you get your mind set. You see, your mind likes to win. And when you tell your mind, oh, I'm going to do it next week, your mind says, loser. Because you know you are when you don't take action. When you take 5 minutes, like for instance, I started working out. And my wife had been working out. She'd been running all these miles and working out like hours a day, you know. And I came in and I did like a 20-minute workout. She's like, that's all you're going to do? I'm like, hey, I'm breaking in. But you know what? Again, mental. It gives that mental refreshness. And you want to always seek action to move your plans, goals, and dreams ahead. And, you know, again, this is the catalyst, folks. So keep that in mind when you're doing it. And then you want to evaluate all your actions. Are your actions really the right actions? Or are they not going to get you to where you need to go? And that's important. Of course, that's why we evaluate our tasks. That's why we're evaluating our time, measuring the time, so on and so forth. Because there might be some actions you're doing which really are not getting you any further ahead, but you're still doing them. And that's when you need to take a look and say, I've got to get rid of that action. Let's do some exact measurements. Obviously, if you're measuring a room, you're going to get some exact measurements and say that room is, 50 by 40. I'm not really good at woodworking or anything like that, so I'm the wrong guy to ask when it comes to measurements for a room. Although my wife's pretty good at it. I mean, she's really the handyman in the house, and she does a great job with stuff like that. But I want you to pick your top 3 dreams, and I want you to set the goal to get them. I want you to use 4 action steps, a plan for each goal. So again, let's not get over complicated with this. Very simple. Pick the top 3. Set the goal to get them, okay? Whatever that might be, whether it's time, money, effort, whatever. And then take the 4 action steps for each goal. Again, it's pretty simple. And then there you go. You know, you've kind of got a mini plan going. Take action. Start doing it. Now, at first, what you want to do is you want to make it very easy. And then you want to ramp up the difficulty. You want to take it and say, all right, let's now adjust it. Let's increase it. But let's start off small. I always start off small. Anytime I train somebody in anything, I start them off small. Qi power training. Meditation, I start people off small. You know, 15, 20 minutes. Work up from there. Martial arts, I did the same thing. Example, to lose weight, you cut out your favorite pleasure food for several days. Can you handle that? See, I mean, it's not like, okay, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to cut out, you know, all the stuff I do. Now, you can do that if you're mentally able to do that, but if you haven't done it, take away that pleasure food. Replace with something else. See if you can deal with it. If not, find out why. Again, always asking yourself questions. Why do I want this? Why do I need to do this? Anytime you ask why, it's one of the most powerful things that you could ever ask yourself. Because you can give yourself the answer and be honest with yourself. You're always honest with yourself anyway. There's no way you can ever lie to yourself. Oftentimes we do. Oftentimes we lie to others when we know the truth ourselves. It's just that sometimes we don't want to face the truth. And that's just a human condition. I don't know if it'll ever change, but going through this program, we're going to get it worked out, so it's a lot better. So next step is I want you to email me your goals. I want you to email me your plans, the four steps that you have there. Provide all those for me. Also provide where your biggest waste of time comes from and how you want to get that corrected. And then, obviously, any questions you may have with regards to the process. Anything you think, wouldn't work or it's not going to work with me. I get sometimes people say, oh, that might work for the businessman who owns his own business, but I'm an electrician. I work for somebody else and, that wouldn't work for me. Okay. Or I'm a school student and, this might not work appropriately for me, or I'm a housewife and it might, send me the questions that you have. Send me the concerns that you have. Because I'm here to assist you. I've designed this program to give you feedback. And now, in every case, I may not give you specific feedback because of the number of individuals that are enrolled in the program, but the fact is, I'll take all that information, and believe me, it's going to be confidential. I'm not going to be sharing it with the group. But what I will be able to do is take those questions, and I can develop another set of videos from those questions that you provide for me. Very, very important you give me the feedback. It's funny, when I run programs like this and I ask for feedback, a lot of people love that facet of the program. In fact, I probably sell more of these types of programs when I say I'm going to give feedback than any other option. The funny thing is that whenever I offer feedback, very few people even give me feedback. It's kind of like, I don't know what they're doing, but they're not giving me the feedback. It's kind of strange. So you want to use mindforcesecrets@gmail email address to contact me. Send me your questions. In the subject line, put in the subject line that you're with the Dynamic Mental Entrainment, and I'll be sure to put that as a priority because I get hundreds of emails. There's no way I can answer them all. And I may not get to yours personally, but I promise that I will get all the questions answered in one form or another. So I may actually say, all right, I got 25 great questions. I'm going to bang out a video or an audio file or something and cover those questions and give you the answers that I think would work. Of course, if you have any suggestions for any of this stuff, feel free to email me or let me know what you think. Anyway, it's been great sharing this information with you. And like I said before, take action. You're an action taker, not an excuse maker. Thanks for watching and listening, and have a fantastic day. So long.